Hi, this is Dr. Tim Turlip from Turlip Chiropractic. Wanted to invite you every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to listen to 30 Minutes to Vitality, where we'll discuss topics of interest that will affect your health and mine and how we express greater wellness and well-being. If you happen to miss a live episode at 11 o'clock, you can hear it again at drturlip.com, where all podcasts are posted there and available at any time, day or night. So look forward to spending time with you every Wednesday at 11 o'clock for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And just a little reminder there, that's why we are here and you're here as well. So glad you joined us this afternoon, this time every Wednesday, 11 o'clock till the bottom of the hour. That'll bring us right till 11:30. You got your chance to ask Dr. Tim Turlip your questions, maybe your comments, your concerns dealing with your health and wellness. Dr. Tim Turlip, a local chiropractor in the area, always brings something informational and educational to the table. And once again, he will do that today. It's a program called Your 30 Minutes to Vitality, always heard right here every Wednesday, once again, on JB Radio. The phone number, 352-796-7272, 352-796-7272. Keep that handy, because I know you're going to have a question, and we'd be glad to take that for you. Dr. Tim, handing it over to you.
So, well, my wife certainly has a question. She's frequently asking me why. Why?
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm not sure exactly where she's going with that question. It's an open-ended why. Mm. I get it frequently. So welcome to Wednesday.
So what's the answer, by the way?
The answer is, I'm not quite certain exactly. Please specify what the question is.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Answer. Yeah, I've learned not to try and respond to those open-ended ones because I tend to get in trouble.
So last week, we got a little spicy.
We did get a little spicy, yes. Actually. We were talking about turmeric and its active elements, curcumin.
Yeah.
Is what we were talking about last week. And the kissing cousin of turmeric is actually ginger.
Oh.
It's actually in the same class of families, along with cardamom, believe it or not. Flavorful spices.
Yeah.
Right? But ginger, actually, and it's kind of interesting because it just like curcumin, being investigated and researched a lot, there's a huge body of research regarding ginger.
Okay.
So since it's its kissing cousin and they sort of have a similar, if not synergistic effect, they kind of work together. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd touch a little bit on ginger today.
Oh, very good.
Because it's a pretty simple spice and it's one that you people go, oh, ginger. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's something that's very, very similar. Turmeric, for some reason, people think of it as more esoteric. It's more out there. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit unique. It's exotic. Mm-hmm. Ginger seems more day to day.
Okay.
I bet most people, if we said, do you have any ginger, whether it's powdered ginger in your spice cabinet, or maybe even a little ginger root in the fridge, they might have some.
Always.
So, you know, it's pretty common, but its health benefits are profound.
Really?
So yeah, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Yeah. Most people don't realize medicinally from the East, particularly in India and China. I mean, for probably 5 to 6,000 years, they've been using that medicinally to help with a host of other problems. Mm-hmm. So just want to hit on how do you use it? Right? What do you use it for?
Yeah.
And what's it for? And so it's sort of like curcumin in a sense, because it's one of the things you can use it as a treatment for disorders.
Okay.
No question about it.
Okay.
Its biggest and best use is when you use it as a prophylactic, a preventative.
Yes.
So taking it regularly as we go along, we talked last week a little bit how with turmeric, how we see this significant cancer reduction, particularly in India, with the big four cancers that we suffer from, right, with colon, breast, prostate, lung, right? And they have less than 10% because they're consistently using turmeric. Mm-hmm. So rather than getting, heaven forbid, prostate cancer and then trying to remediate or correct that by using the spice, not as effective, right?
Right.
But it's actually when we use it in advance of the disorder or the problem, we get to enjoy more vitality. Mm-hmm. We get to actually enjoy more well-being and prevent this host of other stuff from happening to us.
Very good.
So, but it can help with a lot of things. So we hit on a couple of things. Now, people say, how do you use ginger? Well, obviously cooking.
Yeah.
It's a very simple thing, especially in those Asian countries, and it's pretty much every continent on the planet, even the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, Thailand. Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very common spice to use in just about everything.
Okay.
Anybody who's ever gone and had any sushi, whether it's a fish sushi, a vegetable sushi, you always get ginger on the side.
The pickled
ginger to actually put it on top of your sushi and take the bite. Oh, it's really nice. Yeah. It's got that zesty character to it. It's delicious, right?
Yes.
So I have a daughter who actually can't wait. I think she's compulsive about the ginger. She could put it in front of her. She'll eat everything you put in front of her. It's crazy.
Sweet.
I don't know if it's sweet. It's a bit bitter and tart and hot to me, no, but she just sucks it down. Right. So it's on everything with those, the Asian dishes. It's very, very, very prevalent. Uh-huh. Right. So consuming it regularly. And again, with the powdered form, you can actually get the dehydrated powdered ginger.
Okay.
Then, you know, a recipe might call for half a teaspoon of ginger, a teaspoon of ginger, something. Uh-huh. If we're cooking with it regularly, we can get the root. Right, and use the root itself. You can grate it and use the shavings. You can slice it. You can cut off chunks. Mm-hmm. You can juice it, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
I never thought of that.
So it's an amazing thing. If you're just, you can just make the ginger juice itself. Mm-hmm. It is has a little kick to it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Right, so if you actually do, you know, half an ounce of ginger juice, be prepared to breathe fire.
It's like garlic almost.
It is hot.
Yeah.
It won't give you the bad breath that the garlic will give you.
But it's got that bam.
Bam. Right. Now, it only lasts for a moment or two, but boy, will it get you going.
Okay.
Right. So the juicing, or put it in other juices, or you can use that juice in your cooking instead of using the herb, because it actually adds a different, deeper, richer character to the foods when you use the juice itself. Other people actually will use ginger oil.
Okay.
So there's an essential oil of ginger you can actually use. This is an aromatherapy, believe it or not, which it smells fantastic, I might add, but it also is exceedingly medicinal.
Uh-huh.
So those are the biggest ways that one can use ginger, and probably the simplest one is eating it.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the best ones. The other one that we actually use in our office a lot is also supplementally. And essentially it's a concentrated form of ginger in a powder that's in a capsule. Uh-huh. You can pull apart and you can pour that out. Mm-hmm. Or you can just take the capsule itself. So those are the best ways to actually incorporate and use ginger. Mm-hmm. And again, we said before you do it. So I take 500 milligrams of a concentrated ginger every single day.
Okay.
Right? Am I treating anything specific in my well-being? Mm-mm. Nope. I'm not treating anything, mm-mm. right, other than my vitality. Mm-hmm. If you're going to say, am I treating something?
Yep.
Well, I'm actually trying to treat my vitality, mm-hmm. right, to actually help me express more of my vitalistic expression in my body.
You better believe it. Right? And when we think of ginger a lot like me, I would think stomach. You know, because ginger ale, great. And you lose ginger as far as like, yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, we can talk about ginger ale. It's a whole nother, it's got the ginger in it, but.
I know. God. But, you know, grandmother always gave you, or mom always gave you a
absolutely
little.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you had a stomach ache, a little ginger ale.
Sure.
Yeah.
So for a stomach ache, let's go into a couple of things that it can be good for.
Good.
Nausea and digestion is one of the significant ones. So if you get a little bit of nausea, a little upset stomach, ginger ale, not really the best, because of the high fructose corn syrup, the acidity from the carbonation, the whole thing that's going on there.
Yeah.
So using actually real ginger, you could actually just take from the root, take off a little, about a third of an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch, cut it down, chop it up. You can actually chew it or just swallow them.
Yeah.
Right. It's an amazing, amazing relief for that.
Wow.
There's actually studies that we're actually looking. It was, who cares what journal it was. Remember last week we were joking about there's a journal for every disorder on the planet.
Yeah.
And there's a digestive journal that looks at the metabolism of digestion. Mm-hmm. And they published a study, that's probably 3-4 years ago, that was looking at ulcers and GERD.
Oh.
And one of the things they found with regular use of ginger as well, is it will not only just help you feel better from an ulcer, it will facilitate the healing of ulcers with its proper medicinal use.
Very cool.
Right? They actually look, one of the most common prescription drugs that's given for GERD, which is that gastroesophageal reflux.
Yeah.
GERD. Anybody who's suffering from it knows the word.
Or have had a little touch of it,
So the word GERD.
Yeah.
Right? So actually, it will know that. But actually, it's been shown to be more effective than Prevacid.
No kidding.
Which is the number one medicine that's provided to people with GERD. And it's actually been shown not just one time or two times more, but anywhere between 4 and 6 times more effective at helping to control and eliminate GERD than Prevacid does.
Homeopathic and organic. I mean, you know me, I don't like to take pills.
Yeah. Well, it's just a simple way. Are there, medicine. And again, it's not to say that we don't, I always say that I'm very clear, because there are times that drugs, pharmacologic agents are absolutely necessary, essential.
Yep.
But when we can do with other things that don't affect our bodies in an adverse way, but actually can be as effective or more effective, right? Well, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Right. Conservative, gentle, working with the vitalistic mechanisms of the body. When that doesn't work, then we can go crazy.
Well, you know, and then you got the Pepto-Bismol, and you got the Tums and the Rolaids, you know, and then a study came out a while back about how the metals and just the additives and everything inside those things, you know.
Sure.
And so they sort of, you know, marketed it as a different, get your calcium from this, you know, as a calcium supplement.
Yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was Tums. So, and with ginger, though, this is really great for GERD. cured.
That's awesome.
It's really great to heal ulcers. Now, we also have people have a thing called dyspepsia.
Okay.
Which essentially is it's an abnormal digestive problem. People end up and they get bloated and they get that fullness in their stomachs. Well, actually, about a gram of ginger in a capsule form, right? Taking that has been actually shown to significantly cause the muscles of the stomach. And the, there's a part of the, that attaches to it called the duodenum, which is right where the, you might have heard of a duodenal ulcer.
Okay.
That's the part of the digestive tract that goes right beyond the stomach. It's a little flexure. It kind of has a little loop in it, like a plumbing pipe.
Okay.
Right. And it goes down. But actually, it causes the stomach to relax and then the emptying of the contents of the stomach down into the lower parts of the colon.
Okay.
Right. So they actually alleviates that, because about half the people with dyspepsia have a difficulty with emptying the contents of the stomach into the lower part of the colon to get from point A down to point B, C, D, and, you know, all the way down to A.
Sure.
If I can
it's
go,
a beautiful day.
If I go there. Right?
Right.
All right. So it actually helps with that as well. It significantly decreases bloating and helps with constipation.
Yeah,
because ginger's been shown as well to relax. There's these muscles in the colon, right, that actually help move, so it squeezes and moves stuff along. And it actually helps the smooth muscle in there to relax and helps to move stuff through for bloating, for constipation, for digestion, for GERD, for ulcers. Really, really terrific at helping with digestive and as you mentioned before, nausea or an upset stomach. Another digestive problem that's typical to poor pregnant ladies is morning sickness.
Oh, yeah.
The nausea that comes with the hormonal changes that they go through, and they get that. And I remember watching my wife, particularly with our first child. Oh, it wasn't fun. Oh, please pull over, right? And you open the door. You know,
right? Yeah.
And getting that persistent nausea, you know, at particular times during the course of pregnancy, significant reduction with the use of ginger. And what's even better with that is an anti nausea medication. I shouldn't say medication. Botanical,
okay,
right, for the use of getting rid of nausea. There's no side effects to mom.
Yeah.
There's no effects to the developing baby.
Yep.
Right. But it really helps to reduce nausea, particularly when it's used in those concentrated forms. That's really great when actually if people would brew tea and have a ginger tea available.
So good. Yeah.
Particularly for a mom who's actually experiencing it regularly.
Yeah.
Right, to have the tea, have it brewed, have it in the fridge. And oh boy, when you start to get that, to be able to get out and have 4 ounces, 6 ounces of a ginger tea really helps to quiet that nausea and keep people from throwing up and getting that nasty. So it really works. And even for motion sickness. It's an amazing thing. It helps to quiet. So ginger root, fantastic for digestive disorders.
Now, what about leaky gut?
Totally different problem.
Okay.
Doesn't do all much. Right. There's really nothing in the literature that says anything about ginger helping and facilitating leaky gut.
Okay.
But if we look at it, let's move to the next one. Let's move to inflammation. We talked about curcumin and inflammation.
Yep.
Again, these are from the same family, so it doesn't really seem strange to think that actually ginger would also have that significant anti-inflammatory effect. And it really, really does. So as we've talked about several times, inflammation seems to be one of the beginning stages of every disease we get. So would it be a good idea to help dial down inflammation in the body to help prevent the development of other disorders?
Yes.
Sure does. Absolutely does. Now, does inflammation cause pain? Sure does. That was the whole reason for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, including aspirin or even the ones, the Tylenol, blah, blah, blah. It's not NSAID, but
NSAID.
It helps to actually reduce that. Well, there's actually research that shows that ginger can be as effective at helping with the pain of some disorders as an NSAID. Right. And taken consistently will reduce the pain from arthritis, from rheumatoid arthritis, from other autoimmune diseases, helps to reduce the inflammation that's present in those disorders. So people can actually be more comfortable and the progression of the disease is retarded in a big way. So kind of a cool thing when it comes to inflammation again. Right.
Yeah.
So again, so we specifically talked about curcumin with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
And again, with the inflammation it does. But ginger, again, synergistically bring down the inflammation of the neuronal cells, kind of an amazing sort of a thing that we want to make sure that we're on top of keeping that inflammation under control and managed, which is pretty terrific, right? So when we look at inflammation, we look at pain. The next one thing we might want to look at is actually we think about infections, right? Well, ginger's been shown to be a significant antimicrobial.
Okay.
People go, really? An herb that actually helps to get rid of bacteria? No question.
Really?
Then the two ways they look at it, we do studies sometimes called in vivo and in vitro, some in a test tube, some in the live studies. And in both of them, whether done in test tubes or in live subjects, we're actually able to significantly show that ginger will actually kill microbes.
Wow.
there was one pretty significant study that was looking, and I was actually shocked by this one, that was looking at there's strep pyogenes and there's strep or and the staph aureus. Uh-huh. So they were looking at those specifically too with three different antibiotics versus utilizing ginger.
Uh-huh.
And literally found that ginger was more effective.
Wow.
At eliminating those infections.
Incredible.
Right, than the those antibiotics were. I was wow. absolutely floored yeah. that it was that effective, more effective than the antibiotics that were being used.
You know, a lot of these TV shows, it makes me think that they drop you off on this island. You got to survive for several days and you can only take three items. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or you got to take
ginger.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Put a ginger root in the bag there, buddy. I'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? Because these people are always getting sick or they're cutting themselves.
Yes. Well, thank God today I'm neither naked nor am I afraid.
There you go. Okay. So we have ginger on our
side. It's a good thing, right? So my goodness. Right. So that's actually kind of a great thought,
yeah.
believe it or not, because it does have so many purposes.
Exactly.
So as an antimicrobial, and there's other types, there's fungus.
Right.
Right? So we look at ginger as well as an antifungal. Now, there's certain medicines, and any physician will tell you that fungi mm-hmm. are always difficult to treat, and over the course of the last decade or so have become even more difficult to eradicate. When somebody comes in with a fungal infection, trying to help somebody with mm-hmm. a fungal infection has become more and more difficult to get rid of. Ginger actually has a significant antifungal activity as well.
Wow.
Which, yeah, it's an amazing thing. So one of the things that we like to actually recommend is if you take 4 or 5 drops of a ginger oil, mm-hmm. the essential oil of ginger, mm-hmm. put it with 4 or 5 drops of tea tree oil mm-hmm. and about a teaspoon of coconut oil. Right? And the coconut oil is the foundation wow. for it. You put those two oils in there,
yeah.
apply it 3 times a day. And you're going to see miraculous things happen.
I was going to say, it almost sounds like a miracle drug or a miracle shot.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You don't ingest it. You put it topically. So if it's under a nail bed, it's on your fingernail, it's on a toenail, you got a fungal infection someplace, it really is amazing. It smells awfully good, too, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it actually works
yep.
fantastically. People always come here going, oh, my God. This works. I know.
I'm so glad you bring this stuff to the table. Right? I look forward every week for this.
Well, it's simple stuff.
I know.
It's inexpensive yep. and exceedingly safe.
Yep.
Right? So that we want to make sure that we're looking at that. The other thing that ginger does, since we're looking at just general as a tonic with infections, with bacterial and fungal infections, is it actually helps the lymphatic system. Now, our lymphatic system, think of it as our sewer.
Okay.
It's really simplistic. It's not just that.
Okay.
But it's actually what moves through waste in our bodies.
Okay.
So we've got this huge, there are little tubes and little nodes and all kinds of stuff that move waste through our bodies and eliminate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what ginger will also help to do is helps you eliminate congestion in the lymphatic system.
Okay.
Right? So things move through so we don't build up toxins, which makes the immune system significantly more effective and has been demonstrated in studies to be significantly helpful for respiratory infections.
Really?
So somebody who's susceptible to chronic recurrent upper respiratory infections, mm-hmm. pneumonias, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
using ginger, you know, mm-hmm. 1,000 milligrams of ginger a day, really helpful in helping to prevent that as
now,
well.
Now, what about asthmatics?
So again, they're not so much for treatment of asthma.
Okay.
It's all not right. really a bronchodilator of
right,
any kind.
Right.
Doesn't seem to do that.
All right.
Right?
Okay.
So which is kind of, I wish it could say yes.
I know.
Unfortunately, there are only certain things do certain things.
Yeah.
So yes, it's not the wonder botanical of the ages.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty great.
It's close.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, number two.
But it's not, it doesn't do that.
Right.
So vascular health.
Okay.
Right. So we look at heart disease and stroke.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things it does is it helps to thin the blood.
Okay.
And as a general tonic, bringing down inflammation, makes blood vessels less adherent mm-hmm. to fatty deposition. That mm-hmm. thing that people have probably heard of, atherosclerosis, mm-hmm. which is the hardening of the arteries
yes.
and the thickening. Mm-hmm. And usually inflammation on the inside of the blood vessel walls makes it more adherent to fats and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This actually helps to thin the blood down and make the inside of the blood vessel walls less adherent to that mm-hmm. stuff. So it actually is helpful in helping to prevent stroke
mm-hmm.
and to prevent heart disease.
That's crazy.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I just can't fathom it. I mean, it's just beyond me. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing thing.
What about somebody with high cholesterol that doesn't want to take the statins and all? I mean,
that wouldn't be something we'd use ginger for.
Okay.
Ginger isn't been demonstrated. There are other things, and we could certainly get into another mm-hmm. program where we address hypercholesterolemia.
Yeah.
You know, that elevated cholesterol right. and fats in the blood, the lipids.
Yeah.
But that's not what we would use ginger for.
Okay.
I had a patient who came and said, hey, you know, I've got high cholesterol.
Yeah.
I'm taking ginger. And I go, well, that's great. It's not going to help you with your cholesterol.
Okay.
Right. It doesn't do that.
All right.
But for pain, we talked about inflammation and pain itself. There's actually on the pain nerve endings, as we said, there's the nervous system has all kinds of different types of nerve endings, and there's different types for pain itself. Well, there's actually this one, they're called valenoid receptors that are part of the nerve endings that create pain. And what we know is that ginger, again, will actually help to block the action of those particular pain receptors. So not only does it bring the inflammation down, but it helps the nervous system to decrease the ability of the nervous system to register pain.
Unbelievable.
So that's, it's a natural way to actually reduce the body's perception of pain, as well as bringing down the inflammation. Kind of a really interesting way to look at it.
It is.
We also have the activity when it comes to ginger looking at cancer. We talked about curcumin. We talked about turmeric. Those are this in the same element, right? In terms of being anti-cancer, and ginger as well.
Okay.
We've got a pretty couple of pretty significant studies that were looking at ovarian cancer cells, that were looking at colorectal cancer cells, and showing that how ginger would actually stop the future development, the future growth of those cells. Now, they're actually doing studies now to say, okay, well, great, if we have ginger in the early stages, will it prevent the development of those cells to begin with? We know that it'll stop the growth and the progression of those, but now can we actually take it back one step further? If we're taking it prophylactically, would it also help us prevent the progression or the development of cancers in the body? Well, we know it does in curcumin, so there should be some type of effect when it comes to ginger, but we don't have that yet. But we do know it's effective at actually retarding and helping that move forward, which is, again, it's an amazing, amazing botanical, right? So when we cook with it, we use it, we can drink it in tea, we can add it to just about anything.
Yes.
And for some people who don't want to do all that, again, taking it supplementally is great. Again, just like with anything, though, we have to be certain that the element we're taking, it's good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some of the standardization when it comes to taking supplements isn't as great as it needs to be.
Yeah.
It just isn't, unfortunately. So again, when we're looking at it, we talked about with curcumin, we want that 95% curcuminoids.
Yes.
With gingerol, we're looking for concentrated gingerol so that we know we're getting a pure extract that's going to be really effective. So we want to make sure that we're just taking it, like the one that I take for myself. As a matter of fact, my wife takes it, my daughters take it, my mother takes it, right? Everybody I love is taking a little bit of ginger.
Yeah.
Right, as synergistically with curcumin. Right, it's because they work together and they both have fabulous actions in the body itself. But both of the types that we're taking, we make sure are very, very pure and very effective.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So always, supplements are always meant to be, that's why they're called supplements. Mm-hmm. They're to supplement or augment great food intake.
Okay.
Unfortunately, great food intake is a rarity.
Yes.
And so when people come in and say, well, you know, I talked to this guy and he said that my diet was pretty balanced. Then we take a look and we go, oh my gosh, not really. Right.
Yeah.
So it is the best way to do it is from fresh ginger through the teas, through the element itself.
Yes.
But again, to get the concentrated levels to make sure we get it, that's where the supplemental ginger can be really, really effective.
Very good.
Yeah.
So now last week I went out and bought my turmeric and made sure it had the turmeric. Made sure it had the 95%. Now you also said something about bioperin. I didn't quite get that last week about the...
Okay. Yeah. Bioperin is actually bioperin. It's a derivative of black pepper.
Okay.
And it actually helps the absorption of curcumin.
Okay.
So that's the one thing. Ginger doesn't have that difficulty.
Okay.
Right. But curcumin does. The body has a tendency not to absorb it as readily. Mm-hmm. So the bioperin helps to absorb it.
Okay.
And it also helps when we have a little bit fattier food to actually facilitate the absorption with curcumin as well.
Okay. Thank you for refreshing us on that. Absolutely. And now I'll go out and buy my...
some ginger.
Ginger today.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. So last 20 seconds, Doc, how can folks get in touch with you for... improving their vitality?
Well, our office is located 8466 North Cliff, about 500 feet in off US 19 on the right-hand side, two-story building in the back there, right? Or we are on the web at drturlip.com. And our office number is 666-2222.
Okay, you can hear him every Wednesday right here and on Saturday as well on JB Radio. Thank you, Dr. Turlip. We'll see you next time.
It's a date.